They start praying for their children while they're yet in their womb. And what I pray for my children, I pray for your children. Plead for them. Grandchildren. First thing you do when you have a new grandchild, know you're going to have one, you start praying for them. You start asking God to watch over it when it comes from the womb. Protect it. Keep it. Preserve it. Bring it to yourself in your own good time. We don't believe there's an age of accountability. We believe that everyone's born into this world a sinner.
Amen.
Undone, without God. Lost. And if God don't do something for them, they'll live that way and die that way. That's why we earnestly pray. And all these children here, all these children. Father, we're earnestly pleading. Father here, fathers, plead. Pray for yours just like I do for mine. I really do. All right, let's look here in Genesis 22 and verse 24. Genesis 32 and verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. That's my message today. Alone with God. To be alone with God. You know, the only way in the world we'll ever come to a true knowledge of ourselves and our ways is to be alone with God. Jacob was alone with God. Job was left with no one but God. His wife forsook him. Friends forsook him. Wealth was gone. Health was gone. He was left with nobody but God.
Amen.
When they brought the woman taken in adultery, when our Lord Jesus said, "He that's without sin among you, cast the first stone," they all started drifting away. And the Lord Jesus was left alone with the woman. That blind man that he opened his eyes, our Lord found him and found him alone. Away from the crowd, away from all the talking, all the questionings, all the threatenings. And got him alone. And it's being alone with God. And that's one thing that most of us don't spend enough time. We've got too many things going on. Too many computers, too many phones, too much television, too many things, too many radios, too many CDs, that we don't spend enough time alone with God. Need to be alone with God. Alone with God. That's the only way of finding out about ourselves. Arriving at a right knowledge of ourselves and arriving at a right knowledge of our ways. Now, we may think highly of ourselves, and we, other people may think highly about us, but the question is, what does God think about us? How does God look at us? How does God consider us? And the answer to that question can only be answered as we're left alone, left by ourselves with God. Away from the world, away from even ourselves, away from our thoughts, away from our reasonings, away from our imaginings, away from our emotions. And left alone with God. Left alone with God. And that's what it says about Jacob. And Jacob was left alone. Now here's a man that had two wives. Incredibly wealthy man. Lots and lots and lots of servants. He had so much that he sent it out. He said, look at all the gifts I read that he sent to his brother Esau. And that was just a drop in the bucket to what he had. But here he was. He is left alone. The cattle, the servants, the wives, the kids. He is left alone. He is left alone. Was there ever a man more troubled? Was there ever a man more frightened? Was there ever a man more confused, more alone than Jacob at this time? Here he was alone. Had all of it. His whole life had been one of disappointment and trouble. And one time he said, "Oh God, this is too much. You put too much on me." But he was born second. Here's how his life was disappointed. He was born second to Esau. He was inferior to Esau. His father loved Esau more than him.
Yes, sir.
His daddy did, Isaac. His mother pushed him. And when Isaac said, go get me, about ready to die, go get me some venison, sent Esau to get him something to eat and fix it for him. Well, his mother, while he's gone, pushed him and clothed him and changed his appearance and everything to deceive his blind father. And he stole the birthright from his brother Esau. And then Esau, his brother, when he found out, said, as quick as my daddy dies, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to slay him. Just like Cain slew Abel, Esau said, I'm going to kill this boy. I'm going to kill my own brother. And then he had to leave. He had to flee. He had to get out of it. He had to leave. He had to go to another country. And then while he was going, God met him at Bethel. And that's how it became the name of Bethel. Because there he saw a ladder. While he made a pillar out of a stone, he saw a ladder going up to heaven and coming back down to earth. And he saw angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. And he says, this truly is the gateway to heaven. This truly is the house of God. This is truly where God is at. And that ladder, of course, was the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jacob didn't go up it. The angels of God ascended and descended from it. And there was God. This is the way into the heavens, is by the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh my, God met him at Bethel, and God promised his blessings. He confirmed what his mother had already told him. You know, look over here, I believe it's in Genesis 25. Let's look at this just a minute, what his mother told him. Genesis 25 and verse 22. And this is what God told her. Genesis 25:22, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in your womb, two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Jacob have a love, Esau have a hated. Jacob was the one that God made the promises to. And then when he went down to his kinfolk's house and he worked for his uncle, his mother's brother, he had been deceived by Laban. Just like he had deceived Isaac. Now he's been deceived by Laban. He saw Rachel down there and he said, oh my, this is the beautifulest woman I ever seen. What? I want her to wife. He said, I'll tell you what you do. If you want her, you work for me 7 years. You be my servant 7 years. She's yours. Oh, he thought, boy, that was just like snapping the fingers to him is what he said. It just went by like that for the love that he bore to her. Well, he got time for him to get married. He went into the tent. Couldn't see his wife. Got up the next morning. It wasn't Rachel. Wasn't Rachel. Who was it? It's Leah. Woman had some problems with her eyes. She was the firstborn. And he said, it's not right for us to give the youngest before we give this oldest. It's just not right. He said, now if you'll serve me 7 more years, then I'll give you. Oh, Laban just kept pouring it on old Jacob. Just like he deceived his father Isaac, he's getting deceived now. And then God told him to turn up and go back home. Laban got upset with him. Laban got angry at him. God had blessed Jacob down there, and Jacob began to take all of his cattle. And he was told by God, time to go home. Time to go home. Go back to where you was from. Go back to that land. And on his journey home, he was told his brother Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men. The last thing he had heard from Esau was, I'm going to kill you. Next time I'm going to kill you. As quick as daddy dies, you're a dead man. And that's all Jacob had on his mind. Here he's come, he's going to keep his word, and not only coming by himself, but he's bringing 400 men with him. 400! Oh my, he's scared teeth totally to death. Ain't that what it says there? In verse 7 here of Genesis 32, Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and said in verse 8, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company is left to escape. He started dividing them up, said he'll get the first and maybe the others will get away. He just started departing, sending out just a few at a time. Still manipulating, still supplanting, still manipulating. Now here he is in this situation. He is alone. He's afraid. He's in distress. And he's helpless. Laying here, no more time for plotting. No more time for scheming. No more time for manipulating. He shut up. He shut up to the sovereign power of God. He shut up to what God can do and what God will do and only God can do. He's like Israel at the Red Sea when Pharaoh's coming behind him with that great army and the Red Sea before him. If salvation's not of the Lord, we're going to die right here.
Amen.
He's like Jonah who is in that well when he laid there in the belly of that well, in the belly of hell. He said, salvation's of the Lord. And that's what Jacob's going to have to learn here, that salvation's totally in the hands of the Lord. If Esau don't kill him, if Esau don't destroy all of his wealth, he don't have a chance. Don't have a chance. Huh? And then I tell you this, beloved, I know this without a shadow of a doubt. Everyone whom the Lord is pleased to save, and everyone the Lord is pleased to reveal His mercy to, and the Lord Jesus Christ, will all be brought to the place Jacob is of human helplessness. Along with God.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Lord, no more room left for boasting. No more room left for glowing in the flesh and your accomplishments. Now you keep Genesis 32 and look over in Psalm 107 just a moment. Psalm 107. This is where we got to be brought. This is where we got to be brought. And oh my, what a mercy it is for God to bring us to this place. And look here in Psalm 107 in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed, where? From the hand of the enemy. And He gathered them out of the land, from the east, from the west, from the north, and the south. Here's where they were. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Watch it now. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Huh? Look down in verse 11. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore He brought them down their heart with labor and fell down. They fell down, there's none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them in their distresses. Oh my. Got to be brought down. And there's down. Now look back over here in Genesis 32. Jacob's alone. Jacob's alone. Jacob's alone. And oh, and then it says here, verse 24, and there wrestled a man with him. There wrestled a man with him. Well, who in the world is this man wrestling with Jacob? Who do you suppose it was? That's only one person it could possibly be. It was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You know, our Lord appeared many times in the Old Testament in what they call pre-incarnation appearances, theophanic appearances. You find Him appearing to Abraham before He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham looked up, three men were coming. One of them He called the Lord. One of them said, shall we let Abraham know what we're going to do? Talking about the Trinity, talking about God. When you see Christ, you see all, you see the Godhead. You see everything that God has for you is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? He appeared frequently to Old Testament saints in human form. And He done that as a token, as a pledge of that He was going to come in the flesh one of these days in the future. And one of those days, there He was. There it was. And look down here in verse 26 to show you that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. Who in the world can bless? Only one person can bless a soul in this world. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. All the blessings of God dwell in Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ. All spiritual blessings are given to us in heavenly places. God only blesses men for Christ's sake.
Amen.
Everything God does for a sinner is for Christ's sake. If you're out of hell this morning, it's because God's keeping you out of there for Christ's sake. Not for Mohammed's sake. It is not Allah that's doing it. It's not the Pope. It's not the church. It's not a confession of faith. It's not a creed. It's Christ. That God, for Christ's sake, does these things. And then watch what it says up here in verse 28. He said, he hath prevailed, thou hast, for as a prince hast thou with power with God, and hast prevailed. You see, he prevailed with who? God. How can he prevail with God if it wasn't Jesus Christ? If it wasn't the Lord of glory? He prevailed with God was Christ. God was in Christ. And how in the world we prevail with God? There's only one way to prevail with God, and that's through his blessed Son. Huh? And then look what he says down there in verse 30. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. Where in the world do we see God face to face? Only one place. In the Lord Jesus. We see the glory of God in the face, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. And oh, beloved, he told Philip, he said, Philip, if I've been with you such a long time and you've not seen me, because Philip wanted to see the Father. And he said, oh, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you're looking at God. You're looking at the Father. You're looking at everything that God has for us. And I'll tell you something that, you know, most preachers do it this way. They say that this is what prayer will do. This is what prayer will do, the power of prayer. It's not an example of a saint's power in prayer at all. Jacob wasn't wrestling with the man to obtain a blessing. This man came and laid hold of Jacob.
Amen.
Jacob was laying there scared, teetotaling to death in distress. And he's laying there, all of a sudden somebody comes and lays hold on him.
Grabbed him,
laid hold of him, and there wrestled a man. Jacob was laying there worried, fretting, distressed, and somebody come got a hold on him. The man that was wrestling with Jacob laid hold on him to get something from Jacob. When you get a hold of somebody, you know, we used to wrestle all the time, and we'd say, when you gonna say uncle? When you gonna say uncle? You better quit while you're ahead. Well, this man that wrestled with Jacob had an object he wanted from him. And I tell you what this object was. It was to reduce Jacob to a sense of nothingness.
That's right.
Reduce him to a sense of his absolute, utter inability to do anything for himself. To cause him to see what a poor, helpless, worthless creature he was. God called him in one place a worm. To bring him to the place that he had no confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
In the flesh. And oh, and I tell you, beloved, I also know this. Jacob, being an object of God's love. Jacob have I loved. Jacob, being an object of God's love and mercy, was laid hold of by the Lord Jesus Christ in sovereign power and in the purpose of God from all eternity. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. And them he did predestinate, them he also called. Them he called. He also justified. Them he justified. He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And the way God manifests how he's for us is sometimes brutal.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you what, God reach out and get a hold of you. God reach out and shake you. God bring you to the place where you can't go over the river and you can't go back. You can't go back to Laban because he don't want you. You can't go across the river because Esau's waiting over 400 men. Oh, God, reach and get a hold of you. Huh? It's like when our Lord Jesus left the 99, went into the wilderness seeking that one sheep that was lost. And finding it, why does the Scripture say He laid hold on it?
Yes, sir.
And here's Jacob in his loneliness and his fear. And oh, he's laid hold on by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, this is a threefold battle going on here. It's a physical battle. It's a physical battle. I mean, Jacob is physically going to be reduced to nothing. It's a mental struggle. It's a mental conflict going on right up here. And it's a spiritual conflict. You see, this business of salvation involves the whole man.
Yes.
It involves our soul, our mind, our spirit, our heart, our will, our affection, and our bodies. And oh my. And this conflict had to be resolved. And how are you ready to come out? Now let me tell you something here. Listen to me. God's sovereign. Absolutely sovereign. And man is a responsible being. And what I mean by that, God's going to have His people. He's sovereign. He's going to have His people. Yeah. But I tell you something else. All of His people will have Him too. Ain't that right? And, you know, look over here in John 6:37. Keep Genesis now. Look in John 6:37. You know, I love it like that. You know, Tim James said it this way. People, whenever you hear about the sovereignty of God, and people will say, well, I believe in man's free will. I believe man's responsible. Because we believe God's sovereign, they automatically think that we don't believe man's responsible. And but I believe in free will too. I believe in God's free will. And I also know this. I know who's going to be willing to come. They say, whosoever will come.
Yes, sir.
And I do. I know whosoever will come. I know where the will comes from. I know who the whosoevers are. Whosoever God loved before the foundation of the world. Whosoever Christ died for. Whosoever Christ paid their sin as they sung, His blood, His wounds paid my ransom. And I know where men get the will to come. I look here in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me. God gives them to you. That's God's sovereignty. Guess what? Here's their response. They're going to come. You tell them, right? And when they come, I'm not going to cast them out. They may be the sorriest, they may stumble, they may fall, they may get caught up in something, they may be like David, and oh my, they may make a mess out of things. But I ain't never going to turn my back on them. I ain't never going to throw them away. I'm not never going to close the door on them. I ain't never going to say, I'm taking you out of the wheel. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will of which has sent me. That of all which He hath given me, I'm not going to lose one of them. But should raise them up at the last day. Huh? Now, oh my, let's look back over here now. God's sovereign. Man's responsible. God will have His people. His people have their God. The Lord Jesus Christ is King by right. First of all, He's King by right. God made Him King. He's the one who made this world and everything that's in it. He's King by decree. God decreed, He said, I've set my King on my holy hill of Zion. And He's King by death. You'll see Him as the King of Kings. On His thigh is written the Word of God. But I tell you this, He'll also be King in the hearts of His people by their true surrender and their submission to Him.
Amen.
Oh, yes. They'll say, yes, Lord. Oh, listen, whosoever believes that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, believes in his heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the heart he believes that there's one righteousness. With the heart he believes that there's Christ as the righteous one. For with the heart he believes that God only has one righteousness, and that's in Christ. That his is nothing. That his Christ is everything. All of his righteousness are as filthy rags. That God has one there.
Amen.
And with the mouth he confesses that one righteousness. This is my only hope. This is my only plea. That man be saved. That man is saved. Huh? And oh my, in the day of his power, what does it say? They're made willing. We're willing. And oh, watch what happens now here. In verse 24 of Genesis. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him. Watch this. Until the breaking of day. Until it started getting daylight. Daylight was breaking on. Now let me tell you something. This ain't no brief encounter. This ain't no walking to the front of the aisle experience. This ain't no making a decision for Jesus. This is not getting on an altar at the front of the church. It takes about 4, 5, 6 minutes to get prayed through. Somebody talk you into something. This is a conflict that went between God and this man's soul, and it went on all night long. Went on in the dark, and there was nobody could see what's going on but Jacob and the Lord. Huh? Jacob and the Lord. They say, tell people, oh my, you take a step, God will take the next one. No, 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 no. Jacob's there alone, and God made the first move. God made the first. God came. You see, great issues are at stake here. Great, great issues are at stake here. Eternal matters are going to be resolved right here. This night, Christ personally meets Jacob. Eternal matters, great issues are at stake. Eternal issues. Covenant issues.
Amen.
Eternal life. God's blessings. God's peace. God's righteousness. God's covenant. God's faithfulness. God's promises. All of these are at stake right here. Now God's going to bless and use Jacob. But I'll tell you what kind of a Jacob he's going to use. It'll be a conquered Jacob. It'll be a subdued Jacob. It'll be a surrendered Jacob.
Amen.
Who just gave up, said, I surrender. And oh, watch what happens now. In verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched his thigh and crippled him. You know God uses these things to accommodate himself to us. When this, you know, the Lord said here, when he saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched his thigh and crippled him. Now, you know, our Lord could have subdued Jacob just in a moment. Just like that. He could bring you down in a heartbeat, just in a blink of an eye. But that's not the way God does. He's going to bring you to where you're the end of yourself. And that don't happen overnight. That don't happen in just a few minutes. That don't happen while you're pumping your blowgun from one side to the next trying to figure out how in the world you're going to get right with God. While you're patronizing God. You know, you most time when you ask somebody to come to a service, you know what they'll say? I might surprise you one of these days to come. Like, I'm going to really do you a favor when I do show up there. I'll surprise you. I'll surprise God. I'll come up there and I'll bless you and have you see my presence. All that stuff will stop. No, that's why I say all this tradition and all of this self-righteousness and all this self-confidence and all the ideas that we've got and our reasonings and what can I do and our manipulations to get on God's good side. When God's going to use Jacob, it's going to be one. And God could have just got a hold of him and said, Jacob, you're a saved man now. Let him go. But no, he's going to bring him down, 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 down. And it took me a long time. Hardest thing in the world that I ever went through was God turned me upside down, empty me. I'll tell you a true story. True story. I remember when God first started dealing with me and I seen how I'd been lying on him, I went out still had plenty of timber up behind the house, and I went out and laid down in this ditch, and I covered myself. Then you'll say, this is the dumbest thing, but I covered myself up with leaves, and I said, God, just go ahead and kill me, because I've lied on you so much that I'm not fit to call on your name. My soul was in agony. God was bringing me to the place. He brought John Bunyan to the place. He saw a frog in a mud hole, and he said, oh, if I could be that frog. Oh, that God would just, oh, that this burden on my back, this soul agony that I've got. And oh my, that's where Jacob's at. God could have brought him then, but he worked with him all night. God's in no hurry. And all he had to do to bring Jacob to the end of himself was just touch him. Just one finger, touch him. Didn't say slapped him. Didn't say used a fist. Didn't say twisted him. Didn't say just touched him. That's all he had to do. That's all God has to do for anybody. Just touch him. But that's not the way he does things. It's not the way he does. Oh, this conflict was ordered by God, and the outcome is not in doubt at all. You see, we're not robots. God's people are not robots. We're not puppets. It's through His revelation. It's through trials and through His dealings with us that we're brought to see, we're brought to feel, we're brought to experience the frailty of this branch, the emptiness of this world, the glory of God as it's manifested in Christ, and bring us to the place we desire above all things, His salvation, His presence. And then when it was brought to that place, finally the Lord struck a crippling blow, and He went down. And then look what He says there in verse 26. And He said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Uh-huh. And oh, Jacob, what does he say? I ain't fixed to let you go. God's mission's been accomplished. God's purpose been fulfilled. Huh? No. You made yourself known to me. I ain't fixing to let you go now. Oh, I need you. I've got to have you. I mean, beloved, Jacob couldn't wrestle anymore. All he could do was cling. I'm not going to let you go. Oh, he'd been brought to the place where he leaned all of his weight on this man. Huh? I'll not let you go. I won't. He's like that man who stood at the temple, wouldn't go in, wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven and said, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He is like that woman who said, oh, and the Lord just kept calling her, said, oh, ignoring her. She said, he finally said to her, said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast them to dogs. And she just kept following him and kept hounding him and kept hollering at him. And finally he turned and turned and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give them to dogs. She said, yes, Lord, that's true. Everything you say is true. And I'm a dog. Oh, yes, I'm a dog. But even the dogs get crushed. And then he brought her out where she needed to be. Oh, my. Other refuge have I none. Cleans my helpless soul to Thee. Oh, he had had an unusual revelation. Here he had wrestled with God. God had wounded him, but the battle's not over. The battle's not over until he gets some assurance.
That's right.
He wants some assurance of God's blessing upon him. He wants assurance that God's for him, that there's peace within his heart. You see, beloved, this is a life or death battle for Jacob. This is a battle that will never be fought again. He had heard about the promises of God's blessings. Now he wanted them in truth. I want them for myself. And I'll tell you something else. He is still Jacob. He is still Jacob.
Yes, sir.
His path was clouded with sin. He was a wanderer in a strange country. He still has to go out and face Esau tomorrow. Still got to face Esau. And he knew he is no better off for this experience that was taking place this night unless the Lord gave him his approval, gave him his acceptance, and gave him his presence. I've got to have it. Got to have it. Now look what happens now. He said in verse 27, "What is thy name?" He said, "Jacob." Oh, don't, he's coming clean now. "What's your name, Jacob?" What's Jacob mean? Cheat? Supplanter? A feller always trying to root the other feller out? Deceiver? Holder of the birthright by human effort? God will bring us to own who we are and what we are.
Yes, sir.
Never fails. Never. He goes, Job said it like this. He always acted like he knew something. Finally, God said, "Job, who was you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Job, who in the world are you talking about me the way you do?" And old Job looked up and said, "Oh, God, your ways are too wonderful. Your words are too wonderful." And he said, "I heard about you with the hearing of the ear. Now my eye sees you. I'm going to jump up and down and shout for joy. I'm going to run the aisles, jump the benches, start speaking in tongues." No, he said, "I heard about you with the hearing of the ear. Now my eye sees you. I bore myself. Oh, I see myself in light of you. I bore myself. And I'm going to repent of everything I ever thought about you, everything I ever thought good about myself. I'm going to get down here in this dust. I'm going to get down here in this dust. That's where I'm going." And that's what's happened to old Jacob right here. He laid claim to the birthright by his own and his mother's decision and deception. Now he wanted the blessing from God, by God's will and God's purpose. Oh my. And the Lord changed his name. Look what it says in verse 28. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." What does that mean? Prince with God. A prince of God. Oh my. Power with God. Acceptance with God. Union with God. Sonship. And he said, down there, "But for a prince hast thou power with God." Hast thou power. That in another way means, "Hast thou contended." And Jacob had been a contender all his life. He had contended with Esau in the world and got his name Jacob, being a deceiver. Jacob had contended all his life. He contended for the birthright and he succeeded. He contended with Laban and he succeeded. He contended with men and he succeeded. Now he contended with God, the one who laid hold of him. And he fails. He fails. Now he's called Israel. Jacob can't win. But Israel. God said, "I'm going to give you a new name." A new name. That word, God commands. He's a prince. God commands. God's the one who's going to call the shots for him now. God's his boss now. He orders your life now, and as Jacob had prevailed, but now as Israel, God would command and God would prevail. And then he says, "Thou hast power with God," there in verse 28. Thou hast power with God. Now let me tell you how you get power with God. How did he get this power with God? It surely wasn't because he had any merit. Very name tells us he didn't have any merit. Cheat, supplanter. We find him and his mother deceiving his father. Surely it wasn't by works. Here he was. He's going to send his wives and their children and everybody else ahead of him. He's going to be the last one to go over. Hoping that Esau will be wore out by the time he gets there and won't want to take any vengeance on him. It certainly won't be done by human will. But how do you have power with God? By the grace and power of God. Yes, Romans 9:15 says this, "It's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, which were born not of the flesh, not of blood, not of man, but of God. What's your name? Jacob. Deceiver. Supplanter. Not anymore. I'm going to call you Israel. And God would call him Jacob. And in the same breath, call him Israel. Jacob, to let him know he's still flesh, still frail, still utterly dependent on God. Israel, as God views him in Christ. And ain't that the way we are? Oh, there we are. We are Jacob. We got this old flesh with us, but God views us in Christ, accepted in the beloved. And Jacob asked him, down there in verse 29, Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it thou doest ask after my name?" What's your name? Why did he ask for my name? Well, we can only speculate why he asked for his name, after his name. We can only speculate. That's all we can do. But I know this. Human curiosity sometimes has a way of prying into things God's not volunteered. You know, secret things belong unto the Lord, to reveal things to us. A fellow asked me the other day, he said they're showing this film at the church he goes to about prophecy in the last days, and they showed this film about Gog and Magog. And he said, "Who's Gog and Magog?" They showed this film up there talking about Russia going to come down to attack Israel and all this. I said, "I'll tell you one thing. Let me tell you this. This guy asks me questions all the time." I said, "I don't care about Gog and I don't care about Magog." I said, "Christ never mentioned Gog or Magog. None of the apostles mentioned Gog or Magog. And the scriptures tells us to seek Christ, to look to Christ and seek Him and preach Him, believe Him, and that's the one we have something to do with. Only Him and Him alone." He said, "Boy, I'm so glad that y'all have you here. They get me so mixed up, and at least I can ask you a question." He said, "Will you look and see what that's about for me?" I said, "I will." And I answered his question for him the other day. Who Gog and Magog is. But the point is that I said, we don't care about that. Christ and your relationship with God in Christ. What are we to preach? Gog and Magog? Who cares about what Russia's doing? God will take care of Russia. God will take care of Israel. I'm concerned what God's going to do with me.
Amen.
What's He going to do with you? Oh, my. Perhaps Jacob looked for proofs, for signs. But isn't his word enough? We don't need any signs. Maybe there was just a little pride and ambition to be on a first name basis with God. You know, a lot of people have that, you know. "Jimmy, whoa, wait a minute, Lord, I'm talking here." You ever see anybody do that? There's some of these idiots do that. They'll say, "Lord, Lord, Lord, I got something to say here. Wait a minute." Whoa. Makes you, whoo. Oh my. One thing is certain. This is what I know for you, me, and Jacob and everybody. Jacob won't be carried beyond the bounds of the faith prescribed for the age in which he lived. There's a faith that was prescribed for the age in which he lived. And there's a faith prescribed for us. We see more than Jacob did. We have more scriptures than Jacob did. We have more life than Jacob did. And he only had to live by the faith that God gave him. He won't be carried beyond that faith. And we believe God as He's been pleased to reveal Himself. And true faith don't want any more than that. Than what thus saith the Lord. And then watch what He says. Down in verse 30. "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face." Oh my. I've seen God face to face. This ain't no emotional experience where he felt goosebumps up and down his back. He met Christ. Met Christ. No soul winner, no preacher told him that he was saved. and took him down the Roman road and told him what the sinner's prayer was to be prayed? No. Watch what he says. I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved.
Yes.
He knew his life was preserved now by the will and act of God, who could just as easily have destroyed him. I met God and I came away preserved. Now, it'll be a small, small thing to go out here and meet Esau. And watch this now. Verse 31, and I'm done. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Oh, it was a new day. The Lord left him there for the sun come up. And it was a brand new day for old Isaac, or Jacob. A new day. Sun coming up. The sun come upon him like it never come before. And oh, it's a new day when we meet God. And it says he halted upon his thigh. That means that he walked different from then on. He walked. He had a different walk. He didn't walk like he did before. And all God done was just touch him. Touch him. The sinew just strained. And that shows him that his walk, that he still had the flesh in him. But he was a different man. He walked different. And he had a whole new relationship with God that he never had before. And oh, may God, for Christ's sake, if he's brought you to where he's made you alone with him, brought you to where you've been alone with him, brought you to the end of yourself, and has touched the hollow of your thigh, and you're walking different. The sun rose up on you and you see God. You see God in Christ. You see His mercy, His grace, and His power. You see your helplessness, your inability, the weakness of your flesh and the frailty of it. I'd sure like to know Him. I'd like to turn the water on this thing, turn the heater up on it, get about 80 degrees in there for you, and bury it. Love to do that. And if God's done something for you, we'd love to hear it. Our Father, oh gracious God, thank you for bringing us to the place, bringing us to be alone with you. And oh Lord, help us now, since we've been alone with you, to enjoy the times that we have alone with you. Now we can enjoy them. Now we can rejoice in them. Come confidently into your presence. Thank you for the truth as it's made known to us in Christ our Lord. Father, oh Father, Father, our Father, give that assurance, that confidence today to that soul who doubts, who's afraid. Who feels like you've done something for them, but they're afraid. Lord, give them assurance. Give them that peace that only you can give. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So open our Bibles to 2:22. I'm saying a couple of verses of that. While you stand with me, and then you'll be at liberty to go. That's one everybody ought to know. Sing the first, the second, and sing four. Thank you. I die.